Hey, it's great to be with you this morning. Warmest Christian greetings from Orpington Baptist Church, where I minister. Really only a few hundred yards away, I guess. Just down the road here. And yet it's just really good, isn't it, to have fellowship with one another and to learn from one another. And I guess in OBC, as we call it, it's true that there are very few people with Baptist backgrounds. Most of them are from the Church of England or Pentecostal or whatever. And best of all, when they come from no background at all, when they're converted. And it's true here as well, I think. We're all a mixed bag these days, and all the better for it. I was converted through the Church of England in Poole as a teenager. I hadn't been brought up in the church at all, and it was through the Church of England in Poole in Dorset that I came to know Christ, and that's when the story began. But thank you for having me. I told Bimby to say they need to pay their minister more at OBC. OBC stands for not only Orpington Baptist Church, it stands for outward looking, being outward looking to the community and the world, being Bible based in our teaching, that we might be shaped by the Word of God, and C, being contemporary and relevant. And I can see that what's true at OBC is also true here at St. Paul's, and that's fantastic, and I just rejoice to be with you here this morning. So thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. Just to say, I've been here 8 years, actually. Not here, down the road. 8 years, and I have a kind of 35 years in the ministry, though I was first of all trained as a lawyer, and I came from law to grace, which is always a good thing to do. And for 35 years, been in different places. 8 years here. My wife, Margaret's got responsibilities down the road today, otherwise she'd be with me. And our daughter, Katie, who's still with us, our youngest is still with us at home, is training to be a youth minister at Oasis in London, and is just now in Harare in Zimbabwe, with Smile International on a mission placement there. And she's not been very well, actually, over in Zimbabwe. But she's been to a four-hour service this morning, so that would have encouraged her. So think of Katie over there too. A famous story is told of Billy Graham on a long-haul flight from the USA. And the person sat just in front of him is becoming increasingly drunk on the freebies that they're handing out. And he's being loud and abusive to the cabin crew. He's being unkind and pretty horrible to the passengers sat by him. And at one stage, this drunken man kind of staggers into the aisle, and he recognizes Billy Graham for who he is. And he says, reaching out his kind of inebriated hand, saying, "Oh, Billy, I can't do the accent really. Billy, your sermons have been such a help to me." And Billy says, "I guess you didn't get the bit about repentance." John the Baptist, as we heard in our gospel reading this morning, wants us to get the bit about repentance, change of life. He came, we're told, to prepare the way for the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, to baptize people in water as a sign of the fact that they were washing away their sins. To be a signpost to Jesus. "Look," he says, "look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and your sin too, and mine." Praise God. John the Baptist wants us to get the bit about repentance. It bothers me. No, it actually bothers me that you kind of hear too little of the need for repentance today. Of course, we all want to emphasize the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, but we run the danger of watering down the gospel if we do away with the need for repentance in our lives. The word for repentance in the Greek New Testament is metanoia. We get the word metamorphosis from that. It's metanoia. It's a metamorphosis of life. It's a turning around, a changing direction, a transformation from within. A metamorphosis, metanoia. And the John the Baptist challenge is that whoever they were, and whatever background they came from, whether they were rich or poor, whether they were of high status or humble, that they and we together allow the Holy Spirit to put the spotlight on our minds and hearts and lives, that we might turn away from wrong attitudes and wrong actions, omissions as well as commissions, that behavior and lifestyle might be more as Christ desires of us and less as that world out there tends to model for us. That there might be a metanoia in all of our lives. When I first became a Christian as a teenager, in my hometown of Poole in Dorset, I'd never even heard about the work of the Holy Spirit. It was all foreign, all strange to me. My parents had gone through a terrible divorce, and I stayed with my mother, and it was just a shattering time. I developed epilepsy in my life. I had a terrible stutter at the time, and my education was really very, as they said then, backward. And looking back on it, it was years before I realized that I needed not just to be baptized with water as I was within the Church of England, but I needed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I was. And you know, from that day on, as I look back to it in my kind of mid-teenage years, 15 years old I was, it was a turning point for me, and the epilepsy went and has never bothered me again. You can hear that my stutter is completely gone. I trained to be a barrister, and I thought that God's calling was for me to serve God as a barrister amongst the poor. But he made it clear to me that there was another plan for my life. And my whole life was reshaped and turned around because of the Holy Spirit being poured out on my life. And this, of course, is what John the Baptist also points to. He says, I baptize you with water, but one will come after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist is kind of remarkable in this, that He points away from himself. You know, sometimes we kind of want the limelight for ourselves. He points away from himself to Jesus. He gives up the limelight. He even encourages his own disciples to follow Jesus instead. His motto becomes, he must increase, but I must decrease. And so repentance is modeled for us through his ministry. Not just in saying sorry for things that have been wrong in our lives, but developing a life of humility and grace. Allowing the Holy Spirit to baptize us, to flow through us, that we might be his much-loved children, and he might make all the difference to our lives. You perhaps know this story. Forgive me if you've heard it before, especially appropriate, I think, on the Unity Sunday, the week of prayer for Christian unity that this Sunday begins. And the story is told of a new visitor being shown around heaven by one of the angels there. And the angel takes the new visitor to the different churches and chapels in heaven. And first of all, they go to the cathedral, and there's a wonderful organ playing and a beautiful choir singing. And then they visit the Pentecostal church and the exuberant, joyful praise and a joyful spirit-led worship. And they turn to the Salvation Army Citadel and they hear the brass band blasting out and playing. And then they come towards the Baptist chapel. And the angel turns to the visitor. Shh. Must be very quiet. These are the Baptists. They think they're the only ones here. I tell it against myself. Thank God that in heaven it won't be like that. No division, no different churches, but all one in Christ Jesus, worshipping around God's throne. All one in Christ. And yet, of course, it's our job today to work towards it. Not just to think of it as a distant dream, but to embrace the unity now more and more as we can, knowing one another in our diversity, and yet seeing each other as brothers and sisters, one church family together now. I like to think that there is one church in Orpington, the Church of Christ. We may be in different buildings and different places, and there may be slight differences in the way that we do things, not much actually. Less than you might imagine, but that we are one church in Christ, that we might reflect the unity of heaven, the unity of eternity that we'll enjoy then together now. And in this we can be one in faith, calling all this world to turn away from selfishness to God in repentance. Encouraging each one, every Christian, to be open and more open to the Holy Spirit of God flowing in us and through us, drinking of the water of life, seeking to be a signpost for Jesus, pointing away from ourselves to him. See the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.